So again, what I would just say is that try to remove ideas of persons from what you're reading. I know that's difficult. That's part of being in the lower earth, actually, that we bring sensory ideas to the text. Because if you go further down into 7091, there's a statement there about, and this is a reflection of lower earth state, is that the divine is thought of as a natural man. But it's permitted. It's permitted because salvation would not be possible unless it was because of the lowness of our state. So if you think about the spiritual church, what is that in us? What is the spiritual church? The spiritual church are those states of spiritual life that are primarily centered in our understanding of things. So that's what the idea of a spiritual church is. It's moving toward what is good from an understanding of truth. And that is an obscure state. And there are numbers that talk about that in comparison to a celestial state, which is able to perceive what is good and true. Whereas a spiritual state is one of being taught what is good and true, and from the doctrine of your church. You know, it's a fairly low state, and there's a lot of person, place, time, and space involved in the thinking. We only have to reflect on our own sense of things to see that this is here. Now, what's interesting about this here is that what removes sensory corporeal things from truths to set them free, freer, if you like. So we've been reading about it in the interchapter material. It's the spirits of Mercury. So this is interconnected with this, right? The process of having to have what is of person, place, time and space removed so that we're not thinking in terms of persons and those over there, but we begin to think in terms of states of life, our own states. And as that starts to happen, then the text takes on a different meaning. It begins to actually address more interior things that are directly related to our regeneration, our states of regeneration. So the spiritual church is saved by the coming of the Lord, the second advent of the Lord, the opening of the spiritual sense of the word. That's what saves, because what that does is that it provides the rational with spiritual principles that can govern what's arising from the appearances of the senses. So as you work with the word and take it, make a task, go through that process, what happens is that your understanding of what's here transforms, and it moves from something relatively obscure to something maybe less relatively obscure, but you start to move inward with things. You start to get illustration from your life that supports dealing with what's arising in your state, rather than this being about other people in some point in history. That's all person, place, time, and space stuff. That's what the letter is composed of. But the teachings are clear that we have to get beyond that so that these things can be applied where it counts. And it counts in terms of being able to open up and give us the ability to work with our own states. And that's the whole point. These truths that can build the rational, which is the conscience, those truths are from the Lord. The good flows into those. This is mediate and immediate meeting. It's Moses and Aaron coming together so that the internal sense can be supported by the letter that we engage with. But it only does that as we look to see how it applies to our own life. That's what provides the light. And again, you know, we can only work from the understanding that we have. That's all that's required of us. But if we do that as sincerely as we can be led into greater clarity or less obscurity, if you like. everything descriptive of the first coming of the Lord can be read as applying to the second coming of the Lord. And the Lord comes every time you get an insight. That is a coming of the Lord. And there's a number that talks about that, that every insight you receive is the coming of the Lord. So it's getting out of history, thinking from a historical, sequential aspect. The Lord comes in his first coming for us when we are engaging with the text on a more literal level. That's a first advent, if you like, because it's person, place, space, and time that are dominant in the thought. As those things start to get put off, the Lord begins to appear as that light that's shining through the letter that is able to be applied to state. That's the second coming. That's the second advent. So these aren't like locked in time things. These are process things, and they recur all the time. At least from a logopraxis perspective, that's what's helpful. And that does not deny anything to do with history or anything like that. It's just that the history is only relevant so far as it can support the process. If you don't go through the process, the history won't serve you any good. It's irrelevant. If these things aren't worked into our life, what's the point? So there has to be this coming back to, okay, so the Lord is revealed through history and illustrated spiritual processes. And that is what matters, the spiritual processes that are unfolded here. Because as we come to understand these things as the spiritual church, because we're working from our understanding, that serves as a support for opening up and having the ability to stand in the face of what's arising from Pharaoh or the proprium.